Buying camera equipment is usually the most expensive part of photography, whether you buy new or used equipment. So what are the kind of things that you need to think about if you're buying used equipment as opposed to buying new? And I'm going to cover one or two things that equally apply to new equipment. Obviously, if you're new to photography or you don't want to spend a lot of money, there are generally options available which are for new equipment, and particularly DSLR cameras these days and camera kits are pretty competitive. However, your budget might not stretch to that, or it may be that you want to try out or buy some more professional level gear for whatever reason, and you would prefer to buy used because one reason may be just the cost of buying professional level equipment. It's pretty steep, and you can definitely get through a lot of money very quickly once you start getting into that area. So if you are going to buy used, there are a few things to think about, and I'm just going to cover a few of them here. So this is by no means an in-depth guide to buying used camera gear. I would recommend that you have a look online for sort of more in-depth guidance, and particularly specifically for the equipment that you're thinking of buying. So the make and model of camera, the make and model of lens that you're thinking of. Just have a look online, look for any feedback from people who've used them, particularly if they bought secondhand. What are the traps that you can fall into? What are the I guess, red flags, the deal breakers for buying that kind of equipment. So the first thing to look at is price, just to get an idea of what you should expect to pay for that particular item. And obviously the condition of the item will have a bearing on the price, but you want to get a feeling for what's a reasonable price for that gear. And also, my recommendation would be to get equipment in very good condition, or at least good condition. Once it starts getting into not so good condition, you're potentially looking at having to make repairs to the kit, and that can get very expensive very quickly. And it becomes, if you're buying used gear for economical reasons, it becomes, those reasons can disappear pretty fast if you have to start spending money on getting equipment repaired soon after you buy it. So I would always go for good or very good condition. You might even get lucky and get something that's pretty much just out of the box. Someone has either bought it, not used it, or they bought it and forgot about it, or whatever happened. But there are bargains around. So you're effectively buying a new camera, but at a used camera price or lens or whatever it is that you're using. Now, one thing that you might notice, and this particularly applies to new gear. So, and I'm also going to say, in the past, I've bought gear from camera stores, but these days you're much more likely to be buying online. So I'll come back to that in a moment. But on the pricing, you might find that there are two particular ranges of prices that you're coming across when you go online. So one is going to be higher, one will be lower. And this also applies to new equipment. If you're looking at it online, the lower price, is probably due to those items coming from what's known as the grey market. That grey market essentially means that whatever you're buying probably doesn't have the factory warranty on it, and that's why the prices are lower. So by all means, investigate grey market a bit more, and you're going to have to decide if you're going to go down that path, whether or not it's worth taking the risk. Now, if it's new gear, hopefully it's in the original packing. That should be pretty robust. But, things do go wrong, whether it's in manufacture or in shipping. And it does leave you exposed in those situations, unless there's a method of returning the gear once you've received it and been able to inspect it. So do be aware of that if you do notice those differences in price. Now, when it comes to price, you will probably pay less for something if you buy it online than you would if you buy it in store, because obviously in store there are higher overheads, but you have the advantage of being able to physically inspect the item before you buy it. If it's a camera body, I recommend popping a lens on there, whether it's one that they have in store, or maybe you bring along one of your own lenses, if you have a lens, and just look at the results. So when you're trying out a camera, in fact, and a lens, try it at different apertures, different shutter speeds, try the autofocus, try it in continuous and single shot. But try and just sort of cycle through the things you would normally use to make sure that the camera is basically working okay. And then look at the images. And if you don't have the immediate possibility of looking at the image off camera, so generally that would be popping it onto a laptop and having a look where you can zoom in a lot more. But if you're doing it on the camera itself, have a look at the image on screen and just zoom in 100% to just see what you've got. Because often when you've got that kind of thumbnail view, which we'll get on the LCD screen, that can hide things that aren't quite right. So if the picture isn't sharp, for example, that might mean, assuming you've set everything else up correctly, it might mean you've got a problem with your autofocus. You might have a lens issue. There might be a minor alignment issue with the lens. And also be aware that at different apertures, lenses perform differently. So start with f8, start somewhere in the middle, and you should get the sharpest images. But if you go to either end, depending on the lens itself, you might find that the quality begins to drop off and things look not quite as sharp. Now, if it's a cheaper lens, that's probably down to manufacturing. If it's an expensive lens, though, a professional level lens, if you've got a noticeable change in quality, that might point to an issue with the lens itself. So just be aware of the quality of equipment that you're looking at and what you should expect for that level of equipment when you're buying used. So if you're going back to online, obviously you don't have the option of physically looking at the gear. So you need to then question how good is the vendor. And that's probably the next thing I would consider looking at. And definitely on things like eBay and Amazon, you have the option to, or buyers have the option to give feedback. And it's usually good vendors will encourage feedback because the more, five-star reviews they get, the better, and it builds confidence in potential buyers. So do check that out. Look at the reviews, get an idea of what you should expect from that particular vendor. I definitely wouldn't buy from anyone with bad feedback. I mean, that's just pretty common sense. If you choose to, though, just be aware that you're taking more of a gamble. I guess they would be cheaper, but you're taking more of a gamble with what comes to you. And then also check out what the options are for sending the gear back if you're not happy with it. So be very clear on that. And that applies to anyone. But obviously, if you're buying remotely, if you're buying sight unseen, you want some sort of period to just fully inspect the gear when it arrives and then have the option to send it back if you're not satisfied and get your money back. So do check out what the deal is basically on returns when you buy anything. You should get a description of the item, which tells you what condition it's in. So for things like cameras, you'd expect a certain amount of wear and tear. But if you're buying pro gear, you're likely to have a much higher rate of wear on them. And one of the key things to look at is the number of shutter operations that's been recorded. Because on regular gear, an item that's got up to, say, 50 to 100,000 operate, well, definitely 50,000 would be okay. Once you start getting beyond that on regular gear, you need to be a bit wary because for, let's say, enthusiast equipment, you'd be looking at about 150,000 operations being the sort of life you would expect from that kind of camera. If you're looking at pro gear, you're looking nearer 300,000. And to give you an idea of what you should expect for regular camera use, you're probably looking at in the region of 10,000 operations per year as a maximum. So if you're looking at a camera that's 5 years old, you'd expect to see a shutter count of up to about 50,000. If it's below that, brilliant. If it's above that, though, you start getting a little bit wary because you may well find other things worn as well, and that may not be obvious from the photographs that have been provided when you look online. So again, you want to have a good set of photographs of the gear, and you want to know what to expect there. So other questions to ask, in addition to how many shutter actuations you've had, just ask about the sensor and are there any significant dust spots or dirt spots or definitely any damage to the sensor, because you obviously you don't want anything that has damage to the sensor. And if you've got spots on the sensor itself, they're going to come through onto whatever image, you know, onto the images that you're shooting. So you can get mirrors cleaned. There are ways of doing it yourself, but if unless you know what you're doing, I wouldn't recommend it. You can get, if you're lucky, you'll have a professional service outfit somewhere near you, and they can possibly clean the sensor for you. But if the sensor is damaged, you are looking at replacement. So it is quite an expensive, relatively expensive thing to get done. And in those situations, it's probably worth more than what you paid for the camera body. So just be conscious of that and specifically ask that question. And if you go ahead with the sale, make sure that's one of the first things you check out. Visually inspect the sensor, but also just take photographs. That's probably the best thing you can do. Take photographs and pop them on a monitor or somewhere where you can zoom in and be looking for those kind of marks. And the best way to spot them is to shoot a very plain image, so a wall that's just painted in one color, or shoot the sky or something where you've got just a single color, because any imperfections in terms of dust or marks on the sensor will then show up very clearly, and that's how you spot those things. The other thing is just general wear and tear on the body. You might have rubbers starting to come away on the grips and things like that. That they can be repaired pretty easily. But if there's a lot of wear on the outside, the chances are there's wear on the inside, because if a camera has been very worn on the outside, presumably it's been used a lot. So things like the shutter and all of that gear will have had a fair bit of wear. If you're looking at lenses, again, you want to ask if they're, one of the deal breaks is really if there is any fungus on the lens or within the lens construction in the lens body, because that is really difficult to get rid of, and that would result from being stored in a damp environment or used in a damp environment regularly, and it basically means whoever owned the equipment was not taking care of it. And if I've spoken about what I do, because when I was doing a lot of whale watching photography, I'd obviously be operating out at sea. So you're in an environment where there's a lot of spray around and you can get corrosion and things like that. So I would always have my camera and lenses, the bodies and the lenses, cleaned at the end of each season to make sure there was no corrosion in there, no opportunity for fungus or mold to grow, and make sure the camera was kept in good condition. In fact, it's worth asking if the camera has been serviced, if they still have the service record. It would be useful to get a hold of that and have sight of it. I don't know. It depends who you're talking to. They may or may not have that available. You definitely don't want any scratches on the front or rear element of a lens. So ask, because you need to know. And if you do buy the lens, obviously you want to inspect it. So just get the lens caps off, put a light through the lens and see what you can see. And again, take photographs at different focal lengths, and that will also show you if there's any scratches that are large enough to be visible in the images that you're taking, because obviously that's something that's not acceptable. You may well find there's dust, small piece of dust, or very small scratches. They're probably not a problem, because unless you're doing a lot of macro photography, they'll probably be so out of focus that they're invisible on the image. So the tip, though, always, is before you accept anything, take some photographs at different camera settings and make sure that you're happy with the results. And again, a good way to check for anything being added by the lens is to just take a photograph against a plain background, either white or a sort of middling color, because that will tend to show up those kind of issues pretty easily. Looking at the lens, you need to be sure that the autofocus is working and it's working as advertised. It might have different modes of focus. So it might be continuous autofocus or single shot. There might be some tracking capability. So just make sure that, if in doubt, go back to the lens spec from the manufacturer and just go through the key specs and just ask if everything's working. And then you can obviously check that out when you get hold of it. Another thing is just asking about things like sand. I've been in very dusty environments, and fine dust is really good at finding ways into your camera body. And if you're really unlucky, into the lens assembly as well. So just ask, whether it's the camera body or the lens, just ask if there's any grit or sand or dust anywhere. And they will tell you one way or another, and then you can check it out when you see the when you finally see the gear. So as I say, if you're in store, it's possible to just take all the dust caps off, try things out, make sure everything works. If you're buying a body, if you have a lens that you're planning to use with it, take it along and make sure everything works, like autofocus, the aperture all works and you can see a difference. If you're buying a lens, again, take the body along, that your normal body, and make sure everything works. Because again, with some, if you're buying an independent manufacturer's lens, there is a chance that autofocus won't work as well or in every mode, or you might have some loss of performance. And in fact, one other thing to look at that I haven't mentioned so far are just the contacts in both the camera body and in the lens to make sure they're in good condition, they're clean, because that's another kind of area of failure that you want to be aware of. Okay, so I've sort of bounced around a little bit, but there are some questions in there that you can ask before you hand your money over. Again, if you're doing this remotely, really important to make sure you're clear on returns. And even if you're doing it in store, be clear on returns and what the return policy is, and so that you know how much time you've got to check everything out at your leisure. Once you have got the gear, so once you've got it home, if it's been shipped to you, just do as thorough inspection as you can when you receive it. So you're looking for any obvious damage on the outside. Make sure it all switches on, check battery compartments, make sure there's no corrosion in there. If batteries have been left in for too long without being used, you can get corrosion in there. Make sure everything is in good condition, in reasonable condition, basically in the level of condition or wear and tear that you're expecting. And then the next thing is just to run the gear through its paces. So take a lot of photographs, do some test photographs against plain background for the reasons I've already explained, and then start photographing what you would normally photograph, if you can, or shoot out in the garden or at home, whatever you normally do, or portraits. And the important thing is to vary the aperture and vary the focal length. So with aperture, depending on the lens you've bought, if it's a cheaper lens, you may well find that the quality tails off a little bit when you get to the extremes of the aperture settings. So basically, if you're in the middle at something like f8, you would most lenses, that's where they'll operate the best. So sort of straight down the middle of the aperture range, so f8. If you go to the extremes, though, so let's say f22 or f2 or f2.8, whatever it is that the extremes are for you, you might see some change in quality, some loss of quality, with a cheaper lens. But if you're buying a pro lens, really it shouldn't be noticeable. And again, for a benchmark, just go online and look at reviews of that equipment so that you know what to expect, because some reviewers might have found that there is noticeable, so therefore an expected tail off in quality when you go to either end of the aperture range. Equally, they might comment on how consistent the lens is. So if what you're seeing doesn't match what you're reading, then the chances are you've got a problem with the lens. So if it was me, I'd probably return it if I wasn't happy, if I'm not getting what I was expecting. For autofocus, as I've said, just check that continuous and single operate and any other feature. So some newer cameras have a tracking feature for tracking a certain subject within the viewfinder as it's moving towards you in a way. So things like that. Make sure they're all working. And go through the obvious, really. Make sure that the quality of photograph is good. So, as I said, things like minor scratches on lenses you could probably get away with, but to be sure, always do test shots. That's the best way of testing. If you're looking at a lens, if you can, and this may or may not be possible with current lenses that are sort of driven from the camera electronically, but ideally, certainly with older lenses, you could do it using a ring on the outside of the lens. Just make sure everything moves, all the lens leaves are moving, the little blades there are moving freely, everything's moving as it should. If it is for example, focus, it might be a little bit stiff, or you might even be able to vary the focus, how smooth it is, but make sure that works well, everything focuses and you're not having to really heave the focus ring around. Same with zoom lenses, in and out should all be basically work as advertised. So with my 100 to 400, you can vary how much friction there is when you zoom. So it means it's either zooms incredibly freely, it'll just drop, or you have to apply a little bit of effort to get it moving. But just make sure those sort of things are working as well. And that pretty much covers the key things that I wanted to talk about. As I said, I could try and go more in depth about things to do, but the main reason for doing that is that it's a lot easier, I think, to Google online, because you can Google the camera type or the lens type that you want to look at, and then you can get specifics. And obviously this kind of a podcast is generic by nature, so I can't go into that sort of detail. But you've got a great asset with what you can get online by just Googling and looking at what to expect from different people. Some camera magazines do some really good review material. They do some really good buying guides, those sorts of things. Have a look at those. As I say, things like the shutter count are a really important thing to look at, though. And if you can get a heads up on what the current shutter count is, that might give you it will point to how often or in often, if that's a word, the camera has been used. And you can go from there. Okay, so that is pretty much it. I'm a big believer in getting the best value for money that I can from things. And as I've said, particularly when I was getting into photography, I would buy a lot of secondhand gear. I would be, in those days it was just buying from used camera stores, or the regular camera stores that have a used area. And in fact, some stores online, they will also have used gear available. I would definitely recommend that you buy from someone reputable. That way, if there is a problem, you've got some way of getting back and getting things fixed. Being a bit old-fashioned, I like to buy from places I can physically go to and sort things out with them. So that's my preference, but I have bought online as well, and that's worked out pretty well for me. So I've been lucky in that regard. So there's a few thoughts for you. Whatever you do, hope you enjoy your photography, and I will speak to you on the next podcast. So bye for now. Just before I go, I want to let you know that there's a couple of ways you can support me if you feel so inclined. With the podcast, Buzzsprout, which is the platform I use for all of my podcasts, they have a subscription model. So if you feel that you would like to subscribe a few dollars, a few euros, whatever, to the podcast, that'd be much appreciated. The other option is my Patreon membership. So if you'd like to become a patron, and that starts at the price of a cup of coffee every month, you'll get access to exclusive material, behind the scenes material, photography tips, all this kind of stuff, depending on which tier you're at. So there is information available through my website and also on the written text to go with this podcast. So if you choose either one, thank you so much in advance. And whether or not you do, I hope you continue to enjoy the podcast and let other people know about them. Thank you very much. Bye for now.